Now, there's a woman who knows how to move. But you know what it is about the community. And Hillview today, if you got your Bibles with me, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 3. And I want to throw out some principles that are very important for us as we continue to kind of open ourselves up. What does it mean to be the community of Christ? What does it mean to be a body of Christ? And this is something I really want you to know. And I want you to get this. If you hadn't been to Hillview very long, this is a great month to be here because we're talking, I mean, straight up, what in the world is this church about? First step is this, guess what? Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. How many of y'all get that? That you're welcomed here. Everybody's welcome to encounter Jesus. Now, guess what? That's not an easy message. That's a message that took a cross and a resurrection to really exist. That all kinds of different people could come together under one roof in the name of Jesus, and they could get along, and they could be about a common purpose. Here's what we want you to know at Hillview. I don't care where you've been, but I do. My life and a lot of other lives inside this congregation, guess what? They are totally committed to where you're going. And here's one thing we believe at Hillview Heights. We believe you got to meet Jesus to go to heaven. What do you think? Y'all okay with that? I'm probably like never going to back up off of that one, okay? You got to encounter Jesus. So everybody's welcome to encounter Jesus. Now, I want you to note something. I want you to hear me with love in your heart. When you encounter Jesus, you will not be what you used to be. So you need to check that in your own life. If you say, hey, I haven't encountered Jesus, and none of your ways are different than they used to be, there's a reason for that. You haven't encountered Jesus. Now you say, well, I say I believe in him. Really? You don't believe in something till you exercise your belief. There is a deep difference in admitting that something exists and believing in its truths. Watch this. We could cough up a demon right now in the offering, and we did we had us a good old devil demon up here, and we asked that devil demon, demon, do you believe that Jesus Christ is real? He'd say, absolutely. Say, demon, do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? He said, I was there. Demon, do you believe he arose from the grave? Yeah, I've been living with that pain ever since that moment. Did that change the way of that evil entity? No, because that entity will not submit to God's activity. Now, here's what I want you to know in the community of faith here at Hillview. Everybody's welcome. How many of y'all are cool with that? Everybody's welcome. I want you to know that you're important because here's what I believe. Beliefs cause you to have some actions. I believe that God made people. How many of y'all believe God made people? I really do. I believe God makes people. Now you say, well, how does that affect your belief? I don't believe women make people. I believe that women carry people that God made. So you see how that drives me socially to some conclusions. I believe, if you think you created life, then you have to believe there's no God. God makes life. God made you. How many of y'all are cool with that? God made you. And if God made you, you know what I believe? You're absolutely important. How many of y'all sometimes feel like you're not important, though? Kind of feel like Gomer. You're out there, Shazam. I'm kind of there. But everybody else is just a little bit better. How many of y'all have ever been somewhere where everybody else is just a little bit better? I want you to know at Hillview, nobody's better than anybody else. We all need Jesus. Does that make sense? Now, with that, let's get real honest. Are we all different? Absolutely. How many of y'all are cool with that? Man, I am. You know what? I love pastoring this church because you know what? I wouldn't have met a lot of you if I didn't pastor a church like this. How many of you all found this? No matter where you are in the world, you get in a room full of people and you don't know them, you will migrate to people that are a lot like you. How many of y'all have noticed that? How many of y'all have lived long enough to see? No matter where you are in the world, you'll kind of ease over and you'll get with people that are just like you. And then guess what? Your life becomes very limited because you only get to see people that are like you. And you only get to hear thoughts that are like your thoughts. And it becomes very confining. And you become very limited. And when you come into Jesus Christ, guess what he opens up to you? The kingdom! He opens up many possibilities. Isn't that cool? And so Hillview, one of the things that we'll always be about, all types of people are welcomed here. Y'all with me? Go on, I'm showing you how this place works. So everybody's welcome. So what's our mission? To tell the story of God, and guess what? To get involved. You're welcome to get involved here. You're welcome to meet Jesus Christ here. We need you, even if you're different. Is that cool? Now let's talk some basic things of the church. Are you going to like everybody you go to church with? No. And if you did, if you all were to tell me, I like everybody here at Hillview, I know you're lying. Come on, let's be honest with you. But we got to get honest with this. This is what we don't understand about diversity. Do I have to like you to love you? Good. Say it strong. No. Likeability is a cheesy baby boomer thing. It's cheesy. It's weak. It's one of the reasons a lot of our marriages haven't lasted, because we got conned. We don't know the difference between like and love. If you stand at a marriage altar and go, well, I like you, I can guarantee you a divorce if that's all you got. Because somewhere out there in life, there's going to be a moment where I don't like you. God doesn't work like that. Isn't that cool? He welcomes us and does what? He loves us. That goes a lot deeper. Let me ask you a question. This is kind of the way my mind works. If I could give you something cheap or I could give you something very expensive, guess what I would rather give you? What do you think? It's very expensive. That's the way I work. I mean, if you can go first class, go. And God takes us to first class. And that's why I will never teach you cheap things that make you feel good for the moment versus eternal things that will set you in heaven's motion. You see the difference? One's cheap, the other's priceless. See the difference? I want us to be involved in a priceless community. And the first step into that is to realize this: everybody's important to God. Man, you want to be weird, just believe everybody's important, because guess what? Most of the world doesn't believe everybody's important. We set ourselves in a little group. You know, there's a lot of people that think people who make a lot more money are important than people that don't make money. Now, there's a scam. The amount of your income will not identify you in any way other than this. You got a bunch of stuff. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You're a person that has a bunch of stuff that's going to go to hell. Boy, there's an accomplished life. I had a bunch of stuff and went to hell. I see hearses all the time, every week. I'm at a funeral home. I haven't seen a casket yet with a hitch on the back of it to take your stuff. And I found you can't use it when you're dead. And I found that all dead people look alike. Dead. I ain't seen a good-looking one yet. All these people go to a funeral home, oh, boy, they sure do look good. I'm going, they sure do look dead. But they look alive in Christ. You see the difference? It's their destination that's changing. Now, guess what? We're all in this together. Everybody's important. Everybody's welcome to the gospel. That is an amazing moment in itself, that God will welcome all of us and loves us all deeply, so deeply that He gave His life for us. Now, you ready? I want you to check up on some things. This is what makes Hillview sing. First of all, you got to realize that everybody's included. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in according with the measure of faith God has given you. How many of y'all realize you got to realize everybody's important? That's what he's saying. How many of y'all think y'all just a little better than everybody else? Come on. How many of y'all have ever pulled out in front of somebody? Guess what you were doing? I've done it. More than once. You know what? Because I thought my schedule was more important than your schedule. And I was willing to endanger your life on Scottsville Road because I had to get there. What am I doing? Watch, this is where this stuff comes from. Watch, I'm going to be very honest. How many of y'all have ever had this happen? Somebody pull out in front of you and slow down. Now, there's somebody that thinks real highly of themselves. They won't even get in the flow with everybody else. They are saying, I've gotten in front of you and I'm going to control the what? Situation. So watch this. The first step into having true community is realize you're a part of the community and nobody here is the hero except Jesus. Nobody here is the hero except Jesus. How many of y'all would like to have a life of freedom? That's what Jesus said He's called us to have. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. And He said, stand firm. Don't be burdened again by a yoke or a load of slavery. He said, live in the grace of God. Guess what? First step into that is have a sober mind of who you are. I'm a child of God, forgiven by God, which enables me to relate to other people. Isn't that cool? We all have our place in the community. If Gomer wasn't Gomer, would Mayberry be right? If Andy wasn't Andy, would Mayberry be right? If Otis ain't Otis, huh? You see what I'm talking about? Every one of us is needed, and at Hillview, that's what we want to jazz up. You be who you are in Jesus Christ to accomplish the vision that God has called us to do. Well, he goes on. Something's falling from the ceiling. He goes on and he says, remember this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I want us to get that today, and that's what I wanted you to get today. I want you to grasp that in a real way. Every one of us is extremely important, and when we come together, guess what happens? It's hard to beat that. The NFL, it's interesting. Interesting place, interesting teams. I noticed last night as the Jacksonville Jaguars went up against the Patriots. The Jacksonville Jaguars came in with talent and with some hype, and they had won some games. But the Patriots have learned to do something that causes victory that is so contradictory to the 21st century, they look unusual. They know how to play as a team. It's very interesting. Every time I hear the Patriots talk, you know what? They're just champions. They don't have to tell people they're champions. I have found that people that do well never have to tell anybody they do well. I found that people that never do well are always quoting their stats because they never do well. If you notice, Tom Brady, one of the most recognized quarterbacks in this era, never talks about his stats. You know why? He doesn't have to. You can tell they make a difference, but you know how they make a difference? They've mastered this part of Scripture. They've learned to play together and not as individuals. I look at the Patriots and then I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who's full of a bunch of superstars. People like Terrell Owens that are a great talented athlete but have to run their mouth constantly telling you how good they are. And they end up in what? Defeat. They have razzle and dazzle and it's showtime and it's all this and more. They want to hear their name in lights. They want to be the what? Idol, the star. And they can't play as a team. Let me help you. Church is a team sport. We don't need heroes. We need followers. Isn't it interesting? Jesus never said, come and be recognized. He said, come and follow me. And you're talking about what I'm telling you right now, I might as well be taking my fingers and raking them down the chalkboard because that's how contradictory to the way the world teaches us what I'm teaching you today is. The world says, go make a name for yourself. Go be recognized. Go be the hero. Why do you think American Idol is the number one show in American culture? Because it pulls at the very essence of whatever one of us want to be. The what? Superstar. Huh? And don't we all really do that inside our minds? We walk in the room, and in our minds, we're going, superstar. Huh? You see it, you elementary school teachers. You see it. You see it. You can tell by the mothers that bring them in the problems you're going to have. As soon as they knock on those doors, the teachers go, this is my child. Like that's any different than the other 45 that are crammed in a room. Like you had some kind of special DNA. Huh? You really want to see community, you got to say, you know what? God made us all and everybody's important. I want to tell you something, Hillview, that I appreciate. I'm glad we got all kinds of different types of people here. And I want you to know that every different type of person is still going to be welcomed. And that's a heartbeat of this church, because I believe that's a heartbeat of the cross. Everybody welcome to participate. I want to tell you, there's some things I want you to get into. I want you to worship on a regular basis. This stuff's got to get real. Church, I want you to hear my heart. I'm telling you, there's a little quiver in my voice, because I'm going to tell you what. I'm not real secure in American culture at the moment. We're playing a lot of games with God. Ask the Romans about that. It didn't work out real well. Ask the Greeks about that. It didn't work out real well. The British Empire, they used to say about the Brits that the sun never set on the British Empire. The sun sets now on the British Empire. I don't want them one day to talk about what America used to be. And one way to sure, watch this, there's something in common with all those great nations that fail. Guess what? They thought more highly of themselves than they ought to. One of the things I always liked about Andy, how many always liked Andy on Mayberry? Andy never what? Oh, Ange never what? He never thought too highly of himself. But who kind of kept it all together? Oh, Andy. Now, Barney, what did Barney always want to be? How many of y'all got a Barney in your life? Yeah. Everybody's got one. I'm going to be the next whatever. You know what Jesus just wants us to be? He wants us to be a great follower. And in being a great follower, guess what happens? The world gets changed. Will you dream with me? I want you to know you're needed here at this church. You got name tags on today. There's a reason you got name tags on today. Guess what? We need to learn each other's name. You cool with that, Jim? We need to learn each other's name. I love it, man. I sound like a prophet now. Watch Mike, Kimberly. See, these names are important. How many of y'all realize your names are important? How many of y'all realize you were all naked at one time? You came into the world. How many of y'all realize that most of us came into the world not good looking? Come on. How many of y'all notice that? How many newborns have y'all seen a newborn? Even my own newborns. I was like, whoa, man, maybe that'll shape out. And it did. Huh? Isn't that right? I mean, aren't they scary right off the bat? I told y'all before, Blake looked like E.T. And I thought Clacy was going to be a boy because her head looked like Blake's. And then they got the rest of her out, and I said, uh-oh, we got some missing parts. And it has been history ever since. Yeah, but I mean, they were all wrinkled and they were red, and guess what? We had to put a name on them. How many of y'all know your name's important? And God knows your name, and He knows you, and He knows what you're about, and He knows what He's about, and He wants to get deeply inside of your life and set you free to live in a way that is just incredible. And here's what I want you to know about community here at Hillview. It's not about liking each other. It's about loving each other. At times, we're not going to like each other, and that's okay, because we need to learn from what we dislike. Isn't that right, Roland? There's at times you don't like me, isn't it? Especially when you're loafing on a football field, isn't that right? You don't like me, but I always love you. You see the difference? And I'm not going to let up on a standard. Why? Because that makes us all what? How many of y'all are like that with your kids? How many of y'all have ever had to say this? Dreaded word. Say it some more. We need to hear it. Our kids need to hear this more. You ready? No. And guess what they'll do? They'll break out kung fu fighting, man. And then when they bring it back around, guess what you say? No. And then I always give them the parent kicker. Because they're going to come back and go, you don't love me. You're right. That'll kill them right on the spot. Because they can't get in there and get that parental guilt thing going, you know. Watch this, parents. I'm going to encourage you to do something that'll change our community of parenting. Quit having a requirement in your life that your children like you. And step up and love your children. I mean, I realize God doesn't like everything we do. God doesn't like a lot of things we do. Especially when we absolutely... How many of y'all have ever done this? Knew exactly. How many of y'all have ever done this at least one time in your life? You knew exactly what you were doing was wrong and you just went on and did it anyway. Yeah. You know how I know you knew it was wrong? Because you asked me if it's right. If it's right, you'd have never asked me about it. Huh? I never go and ask Elizabeth anything that I know is going to be okay. I always go ask her, about something that I know is not all right in the first place, but I'm seeing if she'll give a little bit on it. Isn't that the way y'all do it? Huh? No? She'll say, no, we're not doing that. I said, don't you think we should? No. Why? She loves me. Like, I notice I don't have any more Snickers by my little TV stand. Just want you to know I discovered that last night. I was having a Snicker moment, and Elizabeth came to the conclusion that I was growing a little too rapidly. And I told her, this was just a midlife growth spurt, honey. I said, my body is wanting to just jump out and expand its territory. She said, yep, we're going to slow the expansion down. And I loved myself. I opened the drawer, and there it was, dry. And I said, honey, you got any Snickers? She said, nope. I said, what about some ice cream? She said, nope. I said, what about some water? She said, yep. All I got. Why? She loved me enough to say what? Yeah, we better get a grip on this. Now, that's a lot better than her saying. Now, guess what? It would have been easier to just say, yes, here they are, honey. Here's, 2 pounds of Snickers because she knows I'm going to eat them all. And then guess what? 5 years from now, I'm going to weigh 650 pounds. And I'm going to have to be a real good candidate for a what? A heart attack. Yeah, that'd be really fit me good. AAA personality, high stress, all the time on it, and clogged arteries. That's a good combination. So what's she doing when she says no? Even though I don't like it, she's loving me. She said, let's get heads up on this issue for a little bit. Make sense? Y'all with me? That's about community. Y'all are welcome. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's to be loved. Everybody ought to be touched by the Spirit. And so I'm going to encourage you every Sunday to do these five things. Everybody in worship. Everybody getting a Bible study. Everybody building some healthy relationships. Build healthy relationships. Watch this. If you don't want to be negative, stay away from negative people. I don't think that's ungodly. Jesus had Judas on his ministry disciple staff, but I didn't see Jesus going out playing golf with Judas. You know what I mean? He loved him, but he wasn't all hooked up with him. You know why? Because Judas is always negative. Always negative. Build healthy relationships. Pray without ceasing in everything you do. Never cease to pray. Guess what? Fifth thing. This is really cool. Do something for somebody else. Do something. It makes a difference. Friday afternoon, Marty Eubanks, he lost his father this week. Some of you all knew Ken Eubanks. If you knew Ken Eubanks, guess what? You were surprised that he died. He jolted a lot of people. You know why? He's a 65-year-old man that looked like he was 40, didn't he, Marty? He had a heart attack and he passed away. You know why? He's a human being. And human beings have heart attacks and we all die. And I thank God he had a relationship with Jesus. But you know what I loved about his funeral? It was packed with all kinds of different people. You're talking about a rich man. He had black people there and oriental people there, and he had all different types of white people there, and he had, man, didn't he, Marty? There were people from all over the world, people from California, people from Germany, and I'm sitting here going, this is the man that did it right. You know what he did? He loved people, and he served people, and they got better around him. Guess what? I have never been to a crowded funeral of a selfish person. Gets pretty thin on selfish people. Usually their family and they're glad to shut the lid. Just nobody says it. I'm serious. I'm being honest with you. I'm being very blunt with you. I've seen a lot of people glad to shut the lid. Thank God that's over. We can finally be at peace. Yeah. Can you imagine living so self-absorbed that your family would be glad when you can't talk anymore? But not Ken Eubanks, man. Marty, they were from everywhere. We started the funeral at 2 and didn't get done to 5 o'clock. That's pretty good testimony. I wonder at your funeral how many people will be there because you did something to bless them. Or were you too busy making sure you felt good and you were happy? And everything went your way. Because I'm going to tell you what. That's a sure way into misery. I just gave you the motto of the baby boomers. For me we shall live. I shall feel good till I die. Well, let me ask you a question. If that motto has validity to it, why are we taking so many pills to make us feel better? If having stuff really worked, we've been doing that since the 80s. Remember the trickle down that never got down? If it really works, then why are there so many people numbing their lives while they sit in their jacuzzi? It's because there's more to life than thinking too highly of yourself. It's welcoming everybody with the power of Jesus. Amen? All right, well, let's stand up. We're done. But we got something to do, man. How many of y'all want to meet Jesus today? Because He already wants to meet you. Isn't that cool? If you really want to find community, the excitement of life, there's one way into heaven. There's one way into a full and abundant life. There is absolute freedom in Jesus Christ. How many of y'all realize this? You've probably done something God didn't want you to do. How many of y'all have come to that realization? Me too. Let me help you. Here's why you need Jesus. Any of y'all ever heard of the Ten Commandments? You see them sitting out in people's front yards. I don't know if they help the grass grow or what, but sometimes they're out there in the front yard. The Ten Commandments tell us this. We did not live up to God's standard. We broke the rules. God said do not, and we did. How many of y'all have done something God said do not do? Good. Those of y'all without your hands, you just did it. He said don't bear false witness. You see what I'm saying? We break those. So guess what God said? Because you've broken my rules, because you've sinned, I want to forgive you. How many of y'all glad to know we get forgiven? Here's how you get forgiven. Believe Jesus died for you. Believe He's risen for you. And believe He'll come into your life. Now, here's what I believe. For God said, whosoever believes in me shall not what? Perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son named Jesus. Said, whoever, everybody that will ask the Lord into their life, they shall be saved. Isn't that good news? So welcome to God's possibility in your life. What do you got to do? You got to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you in my life. I believe you can change me. And I'm going to ask you into my existence, and we're going to be changed together. Amen? If you need to do that today, that's the first step into a great community. Secondly, guess what? Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. How many of y'all feel welcome today? How many of y'all know you're a part? When you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here, we miss you. We need every personality that God's created to be a part of this church. Now, guess what? I'm going to ask you another question. We'll get into this a little more next week. How many of y'all going to welcome new personalities into the church? Yeah, about half of you. At least you're honest. Yeah, there are going to be new folks coming to church. Guess what? They're going to have different personalities. But God's going to use us all. Amen? Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for a great day today. Lord, we're glad you're our hero and there are no other idols. So, Lord, right now I'm going to ask if there's anybody in this crowd that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Right now, why don't you pray with me and ask Him, Lord Jesus, today I want to be a part of a greater community. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Ask Him right now, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I've not done what you've asked me to do. I've not been what you created me to be. And Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you're risen from the grave. And I ask you to come into my life. He'll do it right now. That's God's business. If you've never done that, let that happen. And if you're letting that happen, come and let's talk to one of these pastors because we want to celebrate with you. Maybe you've never been baptized. You've asked Christ in your life, but you've never been baptized. Folks, it's time to get this thing. It's time to get it squared away. I can't tell you any more than it's time to get it squared away. Here's what I'm telling you right now. If you look at society and where we are, this is not a good time to be monkeying around with your faith. Because you know what? There are so many of you that believe you can claim the name of Jesus, do whatever you want to do, and everything's going to be all right at the end. And you know why you believe that? Because you've never been to Bible study. You've never heard the Gospel of Matthew where it says there will be many multitudes on the day of judgment that say, Lord, Lord! And here's the words of the Lord. You don't want to ever hear these words. I do not know you. But Lord, I was in church. I do not know you. But Lord, I owned a Bible. I do not know you.
Lord, I went to WCBK and listened to it for 15 minutes.
I do not.
I watched TBN. I went to Hillview. Do you know him? Do you know he welcomes you? Do you know it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done? It matters that you come to him and allow him to forgive you and love you and embrace you. That's where life is.
True. I don't believe you, Rev.
It's fine. So what do you believe? What do you believe? Church, I'm telling you the truth today. As long as it's about you, you will never be free. Ever. And I don't have to tell you about hell because you're already in it. And every morning you got to wake up and it's the same day as the day before. And the future just looks like the present. It's sad. Let me tell you, in Christ, though, you wake up every morning to the new possibility of what you might be in Jesus. That's why you can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll be rejoicing and be glad in it. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm glad that one's over. Let's rejoice in the next one. But there's always hope in Christ, always. You got to decide. Nobody can make you be a believer. Let's just pray now, this altar right now, it's yours and God's. You decide what you need to do. You may need to come and just say, God, you know what? I'm going to get real serious about my faith. I'm actually going to live this stuff out. I'm going to let you love me, God, like I've never been loved. You got to decide. So, Lord, right now as we're making those decisions, I just ask that the Spirit would draw us, Lord. You show us where we've been out of bounds and show us where we've been in bounds. Show us where we've been blessed. Show us where we hadn't been blessed. But, God, I pray especially for those folk. For the first time in their lives, their sins are going to be forgiven and they're going to be destined to heaven and they're going to be set free and living well. Oh, God, you're doing some cool stuff today. So, Lord, bring us to your kingdom. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Come on, church. It's all-